Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Man, this is exciting.
3 days in.
So did you get that frock that you're wearing for Christmas? Is that where you got that?
I got the shacket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's very nice. Man, Happy New Year to everyone listening.
2023.
Which means finally, now that you're past Christmas and New Year's, you can finally register for the Idea Summit like you've been planning.
Correct.
Because we're only like 4 weeks away.
It is still time for you to register for the summit.
That's right. Go to ideanetwork.summit or ideanetwork.church/summit.
Idea Summit.
Idea Summit /forward/church.
Yeah. For those of you the last couple of months who've been trying to go to ideanetwork.church/summit,
right.
Kylie reluctantly corrected us and said, hey, you guys are sending to the wrong place. So if you got like a pager or something like that, that's on us. So if you go to ideanetwork.church/ideasummit, you can register there for the 3-day conference. You'll love it. It's in Garland, Texas. Lots of stuff to do there. We want to see you out to the summit.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Great speakers. Dr. Tony Evans, of course, is going to be with us. We have Robbie Green and David Tice, Alan Parr, Brian Sams. David Barton from Wall Builders is going to be there. A pastor from Prestonwood Baptist Church is going to be there. Lots of incredible opportunity. Make sure you register ASAP, and we will see you at the summit.
Welcome to episode 178 of the Idea Talks. Thanks for stopping by and giving us your time.
Yeah, man. It's January 31st, which means in Dallas right now.
Yeah, we're literally in there.
Yeah, how are we here if we're there?
You know, the power of technology.
Oh, that's right, the power of technology. We're recording this, obviously.
We told
ahead of time.
Tony Evans, just like, hey, hang on, we got to record a podcast.
Tony, hold on, yeah. Wait a minute. I'm sure the summit is going incredibly.
Yeah.
I assume.
Record numbers, kids are everywhere.
Yeah, kids are everywhere because we have a kids conference along with the summit for the very first time ever. And yeah. We're having a great time, I'm sure. But I know you might be listening to this actually on summit day. And you're sitting there in Kentucky or you're up there in Tennessee or all the way out in Canada and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really wish I could have come. And we want you to know that we love you. You are part of the network. And we have a special episode today to encourage you on one of the greatest ideas that our network has ever discussed, because it comes directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the Great Commission, the pastor and personal evangelism. And what we're going to discuss here today, I promise you, is going to be spiritually refreshing. But before we get to it, I want to talk about our next event, because no matter where you are, even if you couldn't come to Dallas, you can be part of the next Idea Network event, and that is the Idea Night coming up here in September 19th of 2023. I know it seems like a long way away, but really, that's only 5-6 months away.
Yeah. And there's two ways you can be a part of that. So the first way, we would love as many people as possible to host an Idea Night in their local regional area. Yep. The idea is that, you know, sometimes you can't either for time's sake or for finances sake, make it out to one of the big summit events, whether it be in Vegas or in Dallas. We'd love to have you have a regional event, which is completely awesome. It's a chance to connect with local ministers around you, or you can attend an Idea Night. But at this point, we are trying to have people sign up to host an Idea Night. And we'd like for you to engage with our Idea Night host, Corey Knopf. Yep. You can email him at engagement@ideanetwork.church and volunteer to host an Idea Night wherever you're at.
That's true. We were looking at 50 different locations this year. And if you want to be ahead of the game, get ahead of the curve and establish yourself as the leader of the Idea Night in your region or in your local context, go ahead and email Corey as soon as possible. Again, engagement@ideanetwork.church. Be that place where other pastors can gather together and not only have fellowship, but share the best ideas for the coming year. Register now as soon as possible. Today, we're joined by Steve Witt from the Well Church here in Las Vegas. And I got to tell you, Steve, man, I'm so glad you're here. Of all the pastors I've known over the years, there was a mentor of my father's named Sumner Wimp. And he was one of the greatest soul winners I'd ever known. Now, he's in heaven with all the crowns of rejoicing that he brought with him. But since then, I've come across Steve, a local pastor in my ministry context here in Las Vegas, and no one I've met since the days of Sumner have talked about personal evangelism and soul winning like Steve, and he has re-engaged and reignited my heart once again to not just preach the gospel, but to share the gospel one-on-one in every setting I possibly can. And that's my friend Steve. Steve, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys up here in the north end of the city, at least north to me.
That's right. You're down in Henderson, right?
Yes. East Henderson.
East Henderson. They call it Hendertucky, I think, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Out near Basic. Go Wolves.
Go Wolves. And why do you say Go Wolves?
That's what are the Wolves? That's our local high school, Basic High School, and we're called the Wolves.
Yeah, and when you moved to Vegas, you didn't just plant a church here. You actually started getting deeply involved in the community. How did you do that?
Well, as soon as I moved to Vegas, we didn't know anybody, but a friend of a friend knew a coach in Henderson at Basic and asked if he could give my name. I said, sure. So I met the head coach in Henderson, and I was actually coaching before I was pastoring here in the Valley. So I began coaching the offensive and defensive line at Basic, and I've been coaching there now 7 seasons since I moved here.
That's absolutely incredible. And you've used that as an opportunity to expand the kingdom of Christ and to build the church and to see souls saved. Is that right?
Absolutely. They give me a lot of freedom as a volunteer coach. I get some liberties, and the Well is a big part of supporting Basic High School, and we feed the team, host a lot of their events, and try as much as we can to be involved in that school.
Yeah. Let's talk about the church and personal evangelism. And it's kind of a blunt question. It's a hard question and one that might seem a little accusatory, but I want you to shoot straight with our audience today. Steve, has the church lost a passion for personal evangelism?
I think it's something we haven't had in my lifetime much, only a handful of percentage-wise, I think somewhere between 2 and 5% of evangelicals actually intentionally share their faith. We're okay with being religious. We're okay with sitting and listening. We're okay with doing, you know, small groups. But to tell somebody to go outside of their comfort zone and to share the greatest story ever told about the greatest person that ever lived and the greatest gift that's ever been offered, that seems to be a stretch for a lot of us. But, you know, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and how will they hear unless we're sent? And, you know, the Bible also challenges us that we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. So all means all, and it's not just the pastor's job to share, but it's all of our responsibilities. But by and large, I do blame us as pastors, because we are the, whatever we're passionate about, typically, you know, our congregation is more passionate, or at least more focused about. Evangelism is a little different because it goes against our human nature. A lot of people don't feel like sharing their faith, or it is their gift, but it isn't about your feelings, and it's not about calling, because we're all called to this particular ministry.
Your first Idea Network event was just last year at the Idea Night here in Las Vegas, and up to that point, we had not really known each other. I had a bunch of my staff members come to me, and they're like, you got to get to know Pastor Witt. You got to get to know Steve. You're going to be best friends with him. He's fantastic. And I'm like, so what's his deal? And he's like, man, his deal is all about just, he leads people to Jesus. So they said to me, he should teach at Idea Night. You know, we have a local leader at every Idea Night present. And so based on the recommendation, we're like, okay, yeah, man, let's have Steve do it. And you got up there and said, let's talk about ideas. Here's the idea of sharing your faith. And it was... It was quiet in the room, like a pin could drop. And it was like the Holy Spirit of God just, if I was the only one in the room, just hitting me like, hey, Josh, when was the last time you, over a cup of coffee, led somebody to Jesus Christ, preached the gospel every Sunday? But when are you leading people? When are you intentionally finding folks and bringing them to the throne? And so, man, I really appreciate that. Do you find that you talk with a lot of pastors like me who are unaware that they've kind of stopped soul winning?
Some. I think it isn't about so much desire. I think most pastors know that it is something they should do, but you know, in a pastoral sense, we're used to dealing with things in a controlled environment, and evangelism takes you out of a controlled environment.
Great statement.
Because I have no idea what the person that I'm talking to is going to say back to me. But it's okay because I'm not there as the writer of the scripture. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just the ambassador. I'm the messenger. Somebody handed me a message and I'm handing it over to the person that I'm meeting, whomever it is. Because I think ideally everybody we meet either has what we have or need what we have if we have Christ. So that's how we should look at everybody we meet. They either have it or they need it. If we truly believe that the gospel is the most important thing that everybody needs to receive. And pastors want to do that, but I think there's an element of uncertainty there, and nobody wants to look bad in front of their congregation. They don't want to look like they don't know all the answers if somebody throws them a curveball. But, you know, in all the years I've been doing this, you don't get a lot of those curveballs. You get some, you get a little bit of rejection, but not a lot. People typically are, you know, if you're kind, people respond in kind.
It's good. So how has personal evangelism played a role in your church at the Well?
Well, we started, we're what they call a parachute plant. So we moved in January of 16. We knew nobody, literally. I knew Vance Pittman. He was one of the people that had shared about the need to come out here. So we didn't know a lot of folks. So we unloaded our vehicle and we had no church, and unless it was just me and my family, we knew we needed to expand that environment a little bit. So we started knocking on doors up and down our neighborhood. So we knocked on about 300 doors in the first week we were there. And in doing that, we were able to share the gospel quite a few times. We led a couple of people to Christ, but more it was informational about inviting them to the Bible study. So that was how the Well started. It was in our house. So we just started sharing with people and they started coming. It took a while, but they started coming. So if it, you know, personal evangelism leads to things like that. If you're going to be a church planter, especially a what they call a parachute church planter, you better be willing to go out and meet people you don't know, because unless you're born and raised here and you're in the context of where you grew up, unless you have a really big family, you're going to be talking to yourself every Sunday.
Sure.
And even if you do have a really big family and a community, then you end up bringing those people in, and now it's a church of 50 for the next 50 years until people start getting saved. And as the leader of the congregation, it's your responsibility to be leading people to Christ. Steve, you're a very humble man, so it's difficult to talk about numbers, especially in an environment in evangelicalism where the church seems to only celebrate grand numbers, but we understand that every number represents a soul. And in 2006, you started, and in 2022, the church has grown from two people to how many?
Well, we started in September of 2016. We started with a couple people. Now we're around 400, maybe a few more. We just did our mail out yesterday. We have 800 families that attend the Well, I guess, monthly.
Now, listen, some of those in the podcast might be thinking to yourself, okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's amazing, right? And to understand how amazing that is, to see a church in Las Vegas without a Christian community grow that quickly as a parachute church plant with only two people starting, my father would call it starting from scratch, you have to understand that means that growth is filled with people who got saved at the Well, got baptized at the Well, got discipled at the Well. We're not saying that there's no transfers. We're not saying that there's everybody who's joined the church was never a Christian before. But I'm telling you, that church is filled with brand new Christians. And here's the concern that I have. The concern that I have sometimes is that we give the impression that things like knocking on doors or personal evangelism is some sort of a passe tactic of the past that will never really help people in the future. And in reality, hard work, putting your nose to the grindstone, spending long hours individually engaged with the lost, and then being blunt about the gospel will bring people to salvation. And Steve, you're a great example of that. So, Steve, you talk about these ideas that you have maxims. What do you mean by maxims?
I think church are built on principles. Our mission statement's simple: love people, teach truth. And we base our church. The well came out of the story from Jesus at the woman at the well in John 4, and how he approached her. She didn't approach him. Jesus was intentional about sharing the gospel with this lady. It changed her life forever. And it wasn't that she was the most upstanding person in that community. She had had five husbands. She was living with someone when Jesus met her. So that principle of meeting people just where they are and seeing the transformation of the gospel was inspiring just in that story. So we believe every church grows in five ways. We teach five maxims here at the Well, which are the five most important things that a church needs to be a part of. We believe Bible study is absolutely paramount, and I think we'd all agree you don't grow unless you know the Word. We believe that prayer is also critically essential, and it's so connected to Bible study. I really don't know where one stops and the other starts, because prayer is not just us speaking to the Lord, but more importantly, us hearing what God is trying to say to us. Worship includes both of those, and it's an opportunity for us to celebrate where we see God at work in our lives and in the lives of our family and our congregation. It's celebrating all of those things that are happening. And fellowship is something that, in my background from Tennessee, I think we do really well. We love to meet and eat and share life together and ministry together. That's what small groups are all about in many churches, and I think those are great. But Bible study, prayer, worship, and fellowship are all things that we all agree on. And one thing they all have in common is we'll do those things better in heaven than we do on earth. We'll get to talk to the Word face to face. So we'll pray in heaven. We'll talk face to face with the Word in heaven. We'll worship in heaven with all of those who have gone to be there even before us, or the ones that will come after us. We'll fellowship in heaven, and it'll be unobstructed and not in a hurry. So all those things are incredible, and they're also things that we'll do in heaven. But there's one thing we'll never do in heaven that we only do on earth, and that is to share the gospel. Leading people to Christ is an earthly ministry, and it's the only thing, as far as how every church is to operate, that is exclusive to this planet. Therefore, I believe it has to be at the very top of our intentionality, how we structure our church, how we structure our small groups, how we do our mission projects. Everything that we do needs to include all of those maxims, but especially evangelism.
There are men and women listening to this right now, pastors who are thinking to themselves, you're done. You don't have to convince me anymore. Stop the sales pitch. I want it. And I love what you said before. It's not that pastors don't want to be soul winners. It's not that we don't want to be personally evangelistic. So what is one practical step that a pastor listening to this right now can take to restart and jumpstart their personal evangelism?
Well, there's tools. Everybody has tools in their ministry and sermon prep. You have your tools, and most of you probably have Logos or your own personal libraries. Everybody has tools that they use. They're not the change agent, but they're the tools that you use to do what you do better. And I believe that's also true in evangelism. There are a lot of great tools out there, and I've used many of them. And whether it's Share Jesus Without Fear, Faith, The Net, the Three Circles, I could go on and on. And they're all good, and they're all effective. I personally use Evangelism Explosion. That's what we use at the Well. It was started in a church in Fort Lauderdale with Dr. Kennedy, who's gone on to be with the Lord. But it's about not just talking about evangelism inside of a class unit, but you have to go out and do what we call on-the-job training. And that's 98% of it is the on-the-job training. I believe evangelism is more caught than taught. Jesus said, follow me in John 4, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. So it's a learned behavior. We don't inherently, at least according to Jesus, we don't inherently know how to go through the gospel. Jesus said, follow me and let me make you to become fishers of men, teaching us that there's a process. And he did it through on-the-job training, and it worked well for Christ. So I would assume that if the greatest teacher on earth says, I need to show you and demonstrate to you how to more effectively share your faith, rather than having it at a seminar or at an evangelism weekend, which those things are all well and good, and I think they're good to inspire, but we're such a generation of being inspired and uninspired almost instantly. We need the intentionality of putting it on our schedule to say, the way we do it, for the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about it, we're going to go out, and we're going to share intentionally. Whether they are believers or not believers, we share on our outreach visits. When we go out at the well, we'll knock on doors and either we'll ask them two very important questions. Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to be with God in heaven? Or would you say that's something you still work on? And then in response to their answer, we'll say, if you were to stand before God today and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And usually it's a works answer if obviously they're not a believer. And even if it is a faith-based answer, remember, evangelism, it's more important to train someone in evangelism than even to win someone to Christ. Because if I lead someone to Christ, I'm adding to the kingdom. But if I teach someone how to share the gospel, I'm multiplying ministry. So my intention, especially when I'm doing training, is not just to share the gospel, but it's to teach someone how to share the gospel. So even if they're believers, I'll say, can I share with you what the well believes about eternal life? And almost unanimously, we get a yes. So we walk through the gospel, and it's a safe environment to share what we call the five parts of the gospel, which is grace, man, God, Christ, and faith. We walk them through heaven as a free gift. Because it's a free gift, it can't be earned or deserved. Man is a sinner, and because he's a sinner, he cannot save himself. God loves us. He doesn't want to punish us, but God is just. Therefore, he must punish sin. And this is a dilemma. God solved this dilemma through the person of Jesus Christ. Christ, who is he? He is both God and man. And what did he do? He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross and rose from the grave to pay the penalty for our sin and to purchase for us a place in heaven, which he offers as a gift. And this gift is received through saving faith. We talk about what faith is, and it isn't just head knowledge or temporary faith, but in fact, it's trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. So we walk them through those five areas. I just walked you through the subpoints. We have about 12, 14 scriptures that we include in that with some transitional sentences and some illustrations. And it's something that it's a good skeleton. It's a good outline. And that way, when I'm training somebody, if they are sharing, which in week three, you have to start sharing. So they start sharing what they know. I know what they're going to say or what they're trying to say. So if they hit a roadblock, I help them through that roadblock and then I'll hand it back to them. And then if they hit another roadblock, I can work them through that roadblock because I know the next part of the gospel and then I hand it back to them. But it's a good intentional way to walk somebody through the gospel and to help them, especially areas they are uncertain of, because it's learned behavior over a period of time.
How would a pastor jump involved with Evangelism Explosion? You talked about James Kennedy from Coral Ridge. That was the guy that I grew up listening to when my dad would be watching on television, right? The small guy with the big robe and the deep voice. This guy?
That's him. I know. And he's Presbyterian, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what is that all about? Those guys think that you're supposed to just, you're either born saved or lost, right?
Right? The frozen the chosen. But he was all about evangelism, right?
He was. Well, he said he never could get past the scriptures that told him to go and share. So he said, even in his Presbyterian faith, it was even more inspiring because he knew certain people were going to receive Christ because they were the chosen.
So but, there's guaranteed fish on the net.
Yeah, he knew people would respond. And, I love my Presbyterian friends, so I like having fun with them. Of course, in our Baptist circles, I believe God wants everybody in heaven. And if somebody chooses to reject Christ, they need to swim across that ocean of mercy and climb that mountain of grace in order to reject that. We want to make it difficult on people to go to hell, not easy. So we want to make sure we love them, care for them, and share the gospel with them. And Dr. Kennedy did an amazing ministry. When I got saved, I didn't come to Christ till I was 21. I was one of those very stubborn people who had people trying to save me all the time. But I was saved in a little Baptist church in Northeast Tennessee. And one of the things that I didn't know when I came to Christ was that I should make promises to God. That wasn't part of my new believer training. So I remember when I came to Christ, I just said, Lord, if you'll show me how, I'll share the gospel until I see you. And I got Nikki, my wife now of 30 years, we got married, moved to Athens, Georgia. And there in that church called Beach Haven Baptist in Athens, Georgia, I learned how to share the gospel. And this church grew from 20 to over 2,000. And I was trained by a 72-year-old lady named Dottie Davis, who I watched lead person after person after person to Christ in a very transitional college town in Athens, Georgia, because that's where the University of Georgia is. Although I cannot stand their football team, I love their church. And I'm a Vol fan for life. But I watched her lead so many people to Christ using a very simple outline and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit with truth, life. The Bible says the word won't return void. And anytime you share the gospel, it is a trilogue between the person that's sharing, the person that's hearing, and the Holy Spirit. So that's what's so beautiful about that conversation. The Holy Spirit's part of that. And you know God is going to touch that person, whether it's the first time you share it, they may receive Christ, or maybe you're the first conversation that they'll need to hear it two or three or four, or like me, probably 40 or 50 times before it permeates that hard skull of mine or that very hard heart. And I received God's invitation to join him in heaven, which, you know, I think we forget. God pursues us. We don't pursue him. Revelation 3 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my knock and open the door, I'll come in and have fellowship with him. And he with me." So altogether, that's the general outline of the gospel. And that's Dr. Kennedy did a very simple thing. He was a great. He has three earned doctorates, six earned master's degree, spoke a lot of languages, could read Hebrew and Greek. But he said he didn't know how to lead people to Christ effectively. And that's where he learned this from Kennedy Smart in Atlanta, Georgia, years before he launched it at Coral Ridge, a church that had what they call a Scottish revival. They had grown from 45 to 17. And he said his wife was threatening to go to the Baptist church down the street. And that's when he learned how to share his faith. And he said once he did that, that church grew, to, as many of you know, to over 12,000 in its height. And God did so many amazing things in this most unexpected places, like a Presbyterian church, because the pastor said, "I'll share."
I love what you said about trialogue rather than dialogue. It's not a conversation, the gospel conversation between two people. And we know that feeling. Every single one of you that are listening to this, remember what it's like when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. And you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding your words, halting your statements, giving you the verse, reminding you what to say next. It's the same feeling many pastors who continue to walk with Christ feel every Sunday when you get up and preach. And friend, hear me. You don't have to wait only until Sunday to feel that tag team mentality with you and the Holy Spirit. It's not something you've been called to for 1 hour every week called preaching. You can tag team with the Holy Spirit every day of the week and have that moment where you and the power of the Holy Spirit are talking to an unsaved soul that is now coming to Christ for salvation. Why is it that we don't pursue this? Could it be there's a spiritual war? Could it be that the devil and his demons are attempting to pull you away from personal evangelism to decrease your joy and to stunt the advancement of the kingdom of Christ? You talked about evangelism explosion. Obviously, Dr. Kennedy is in heaven. Is the program in heaven? Is it dead?
No, it's very much alive, and we use it at the Well, and many churches use it around the country. You just go to eeworks.org.
Okay.
That's eeworks.org. You can find out info, or certainly you can go to thewellvegas.org. We'll be glad to connect you in that ministry. So we want to make sure as many people as we can get the word out. But again, the key is the intentionality of it. So again, if you're using another evangelism tool, that's great. But, you know, like any pastor, our schedules are always full. We've got all these things we need to do. And I think sometimes we have to evaluate our 168 hours that we all have and say, if I don't have time to share my faith, I need to realign my schedule. So, you know, I intentionally train on Sunday nights, but to share, putting yourself in communities, whether you're helping coach your kids' ball teams or like me coaching football or doing arts, or I mean, there's 100 different domains that you can jump into that give you opportunity. And if you find yourself not doing that because you're more of a recluse, or you're a person who tends to like more solitude than engaging community, then understand that that's our human nature and don't listen to that. Yeah, I think we need to be comfortable in our uncomfortableness. God never called us to just sit around here and let our human nature guide when and where we share our faith. anybody that doesn't know Christ, that's the bell ringing for you to share it. So if I don't think you're going to go to heaven and God said, hey, man, you just shared the gospel way too much. I think we need to understand that the message is for anybody and everybody in whatever circle that God has put you in.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.